From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, March 28th, 2017. And on this day, how Governor Paul LePage is looking to change public assistance in our state, and we'll look at how some Maine teachers and students are working to change the way classrooms look and how they work. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
Over the years, Governor Paul LePage has imposed a number of restrictions on welfare recipients through the rulemaking process. Now he is pushing a proposal that would cement those reforms into law, that would make it more difficult for future governors to change them. Mal Leary has our story.
Work requirements, photos on electronic benefit cards, a ban on allowing repeat felony drug offenders to get food stamps. These are just a few of the rules that have been put into place by the LePage administration. And LePage says he wants them to stay in place after he leaves office.
They can also be reversed by the next governor. That is why it is so important to make these common sense reforms permanent in state law. We want Mainers to keep moving from poverty to prosperity long after I am gone.
Human Services Commissioner Mary Mayhew says the reforms embraced by the bill have been successful and should be continued into the future regardless of who is serving as governor.
Under this legislation, if an individual does not comply with the requirements of the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program related to work, they would also be ineligible for MaineCare. We've seen the success of this reform.
But low-income advocates say what the governor and commissioner call reforms have not improved the lives of the poor and help them to find decent jobs.
During the period of these so-called reforms, Maine children have fallen into deep poverty at 8 times the rate of kids in other states.
Chris Hasted is with Maine Equal Justice Partners and points to objective measures as telling a different story.
Maine people have become hungrier. Our indicators with respect to health status as a state have dropped dramatically.
LePage and the bill's prime sponsor, Republican Representative Ken Fredette of Newport, both stressed the need for Democratic support to pass the bill. But there were no Democrats present at the press conference. Democratic House Speaker Sarah Gideon from Freeport says Democrats have supported reforms aimed at fraud and abuse, but says LePage's proposal fails to take steps to help Mainers get out of poverty. She says true reform would address some key issues.
It's going to create real opportunities for Maine families. It's going to meet their basic needs. It's going to break down barriers to work. It's going to actually expand access to education for people who need it most to get into better paying jobs.
At his press conference, LePage cited a conversation that he says he had with Gideon about the support Democrats had for welfare reform last year, and how it was based on polling that showed very strong support for his proposals.
And I asked her point blank, have you had a change of heart last year when they gave us the ability to take the alcohol and cigarettes out? I said, have you had a change of heart or have you looked at the polls? And she said, we looked at the polls.
But Gideon says that conversation never happened. She says she has made it clear that Democrats will only support real welfare reform.
I'm not making my policy decisions, especially about human beings and their lives, based on polling. I'm making them based on what is best for Maine people.
Many Democrats agree with Gideon, so the governor's bill will likely face an uphill battle once it's sent to committee for consideration later in the session. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
After the death last week of the Republican plan to replace the Affordable Care Act, U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan declared the ACA was the law of the land for the foreseeable future. But with more efforts expected to change the ACA, that future is murky. And at least one insurance company, Anthem, announced earlier this month that without significant changes, it would start bailing from individual state marketplaces. Patty White has more.
Anthem's announcement came in the form of a March 9th letter from CEO Joseph Sweden to Republican leaders in Congress. Swedish said Anthem would start to, quote, surgically extract itself from individual insurance exchanges in 2018 unless lawmakers take action to stabilize the market. A company spokesman declined to comment for this story and couldn't specify whether Maine would be included in the initial dissection. Independent health policy consultant Mitchell Stein says Anthem's position is understandable.
Anthem is behaving rationally given the market circumstances, because they're facing uncertainty.
And under this uncertainty, the company has to determine its rates for 2018 within the next couple of months. Stein says that's why Anthem's letter is asking for stability. Two things in particular would make a big difference. One is for the federal government to provide risk sharing, like the $100 billion stability fund proposed under the Republican replacement proposal. That would have allocated money to states to use to lower insurance costs for consumers. And Stein says there's something else that would help.
Something called the cost-sharing subsidies.
Cost-sharing subsidies help consumers pay out-of-pocket expenses. During the Obama administration, Congress didn't allocate funding for those subsidies, so the administration had to find them somewhere else. The question, says Stein, is whether the Trump administration or current Congress will commit to the subsidies.
And to my mind, that's the most important unknown we're facing right now.
That's a major question for Maine's insurance co-op, Community Health Options, as well. CEO Kevin Lewis also wants to see policies that will drive younger, healthier people into the mix.
Ensure that there is either a mandate or a true penalty for non-participation that reflects the actual costs of people staying on the sidelines, staying out of coverage, because that does affect the entire pool.
Though Lewis and Stein say the marketplace needs stability, they also agree that it's not in danger of exploding, as President Trump has predicted. Maine's other insurer on the individual marketplace, Harvard Pilgrim, did not return a request for comment for this story. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
A biomass company at the center of a dispute over payments to loggers is now asking to change the terms of a subsidy it gets from the state. As Fred Bever reports, the company says it wants to dispel the notion that taxpayers are getting a bad deal.
Stored Solar is receiving taxpayer-funded above-market payments for the electricity it generates under legislation passed last year to shore up the state's struggling forest products economy. In return, the company must fill 42 new positions for the next 2 years, make capital investments of $2.5 million, buy at least 1 million tons of biomass fuel, and post surety payments worth more than $3 million in case of non-performance. Last week, an organization that represents Maine loggers said Stored Solar was late with payments to some contractors who delivered wood to its plants in West Enfield and Jonesboro. Now, the company is telling state regulators that it is meeting its obligations, including the new hires, and has resolved the dispute with loggers. But Stored Solar says it wants to return above-market payments it's already received and forgo any more for the rest of the year. Then, at the end of the year, the company is asking to receive all of those payments based on performance. It also wants its initial surety payment returned. That's about $1 million. And to be freed from making any more surety payments, including one that's due soon. Spokesman Dan Cashman says the company wants to dispel any notion that taxpayers are getting a bad deal.
It's not up front. It's not blindly given with the hope that obligations are met. It's used after obligations are met with assurance that it's been reviewed and agreed upon that the money was earned.
Cashman says Stored Solar's finances are stable, even though it had to reduce operations when some loggers stopped making deliveries. A spokesman for the Professional Logging Contractors of Maine did not return requests for comments. The Maine Public Utilities Commission says it is reviewing the company's request. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Finally, today in classrooms, there has long been an assumption that students need to be still, calm, and attentive to learn. But more and more, researchers are finding that attitude could actually be hurting students. As Robbie Feinberg reports, teachers and students in Maine are trying to change that attitude by transforming what their classrooms look like.
You have 10 minutes to work on this.
Walk into Sue Chase's special education classroom at the Piscataquis Community Secondary School in Guilford, and the first thing you notice are the lights. Giant spherical LED lanterns hang from the ceiling, replacing the harsh fluorescent lights that are standard in most classrooms.
Because those bother some of my students, the noise and the flickering.
Traditional classroom seating has also been replaced.
The stools I purchased this year, some of those other chairs, the comfy chairs, I purchased a few every year.
Some seats are made of bouncy bungee material. Others are soft, with pillows and cushions. And in the middle of the room, a student wiggles around on something called a wobble stool. It's a stool that lets a student shift their body up and down and side to side as they work. Chase says all of this design is intentional, to let her kids move so they can stay on task.
And I see a big difference with them. They're less fidgety. Or they can fidget, you know, but it's not distracting to them and other people.
Historically, parents and teachers, if they see somebody fidgeting, the natural reaction is to tell them to quiet down and to sit still.
Julie Schweitzer, the director of the Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder Program at the University of California, Davis, says there's long been an assumption in schools that if a student is fidgeting or moving around, they're misbehaving. But her research has found that for students with attention disorders like ADHD, fidgeting is actually an important cognitive process that helps them perform better. Schweitzer says allowing that movement from students, including through new kinds of furniture, can boost attention and learning.
I think it's something that those of us who work in the field for decades have noticed, that there are some teachers who seem to be clued in to think that maybe that the movement wasn't so negative.
But while teachers may want to change their classrooms, finding money in the school budget to pay for it is a different story. Schools rarely have the funds to pay for these new kinds of seats. Sue Chase, the teacher in Guilford, says her colleagues rummage through yard sales and flea markets to find the furniture they need. And teachers go online, too. On the crowdfunding website Donors Choose, nearly a dozen teachers in Maine alone are trying to scrounge up funds to buy new seating like wobble stools. Chase says it may cost money, but it's necessary.
I do spend a lot of money on my own. But, you know, it's just something that I feel as a teacher is important for my students. And we're not expected to do this, but it's just what we do, some of us do.
And even if you do find the equipment, Schweitzer at UC Davis says there are limits to how much movement a classroom can handle. A yoga ball can quickly become a bouncy distraction to the whole classroom if it's not used correctly.
That interferes with others' learning, and that's where it becomes more of a problem.
Why would somebody look this up?
Some students say they're glad to have more choices, though. In an English classroom at the Piscataquis Community Secondary School, 7th grader Eric Jacobs runs from table to table, tapping his pencil and shifting his feet back and forth. He says new kinds of furniture here, like standing desks and whiteboard desks, help keep him on task.
I'm usually pretty twitchy, so I use the stand-up desk to just, like, stay in one spot so that I'm not twitching so much. And I like to use the whiteboard desk to just draw little doodles while things are happening. This is the focus wheel.
And at Mount Blue High School in Farmington, a group of students has started a micro-business where they sell handheld plastic fidget devices that students can click or spin in class if they're stressed. Sophomore Liana Ridley helped start the project.
We want all these kids with anxiety and stress and just, like, who fidget with their hands. That's why we made the fidgets, to keep the noise down. Because
recess used to be the way that those students could move around and be more ready to learn in class. But Schweitzer says that as recess keeps getting cut in many districts, these new kinds of seats could be the way for students to channel their energy. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And education reporting on Maine Public Radio is supported by a grant from the Nellie Mae Educational Foundation. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, March 28th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.